Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What do you think is the most mysterious animal in the world? Maybe you'd pick the snow leopard because it's so hard for humans to find and photograph. Or maybe you'd choose the axolotl, which can do amazing things like grow back body parts, even parts of its heart and brain. Scientists are still trying to figure out how it does that. For me, one of the most mysterious animals is the whale. Part of that is because whales live in one of the most mysterious places on Earth, the deep ocean. Even though people have explored some of the ocean, huge parts of it are still unknown, especially the dark, deep areas where whales travel. Whales are also mysterious because they do things that we don't fully understand. For example, what are humpback whales saying when they sing to each other with long, echoing sounds? And how do whales know where to go when they travel thousands of miles every year? Even though many of these questions are still mysteries, today we're going to talk to someone who has spent a lot of time up close with whales. Close enough to discover some of their secrets.
I was in Dominica in the Eastern Caribbean working with Shane Garrow, a whale biologist. And after showing him this footage that we had just captured, he said, you know, Brian, there's an old saying in the whale biology world that says someday we will know everything there is to know about whales, except how a sperm whale calf nurses, because they could never figure out how they did it with that big jaw and so forth.
This is Brian Scarry. He's a photographer for National Geographic and the producer of the nature documentary series, Secrets of the Whales. For this series, he filmed many different species of whales all over the world for 3 years. And as part of the process, he had some incredible insights into whale mysteries. One of those mysteries was how baby sperm whales nurse or get milk from their mother sperm whales. Sperm whales have absolutely enormous mouths, and so scientists couldn't figure out how they could nurse underwater until Brian captured some amazing footage.
But we saw this, you know, photos and footage of the frame-by-frame analysis of the jaw sort of inserting into the mammary slit and the milk going into the mouth and another secrets of the whales that has been revealed.
Baby sperm whales don't just drink milk, they have to line up just right. The baby tucks its mouth into a special hidden spot under its mom, like finding a secret doorway. Once it's in place, the mom sends milk right into the baby's mouth so that it doesn't get lost in the ocean. Crazy! This footage was especially interesting to Brian and the whale biologists because it was the first time sperm whale nursing had ever been caught on camera. Brian was able to capture such an amazing moment because of his particular method of filming wildlife.
The whale biologist had never seen it before, so it seemed like a first time. And yeah, I was able to see it and photograph it. And it's also, I think, important for context to note that when we're doing this whale photography, in most cases, I or my colleagues are free diving. We're not using scuba. The bubbles from scuba tanks would scare the whales, and it's also rather encumbering. Better to be nimble. So we're just using a mass snorkel and fins, and a thin wetsuit in this case, and free diving down maybe 50 or 60 feet, so staying underwater as long as we can hold our breath.
Wow! We've talked about free diving on Constant Wonder Kids before, but can you imagine diving into the ocean with only a mask, snorkel, fins, and wetsuit surrounded by whales? That seems crazy to me, but for Brian, it's another day on the job. Free diving without the tanks and bubbles that come with scuba diving helps Brian build trust with the animals he photographs.
In many cases, you know, these animals are just going about their business and it's difficult to get close. But in this case, this mom was very trusting. She allowed me into her world and with her and her little baby there, you know, doing this tender moment. So it was very special on many levels.
Building that sort of trust with animals is especially important for Brian because of the specific places and subjects he photographs.
As an underwater photographer, I don't have the luxury of sitting in a camouflaged blind in some jungle and using a 600 millimeter lens and waiting for a month for some elusive animal to wander past. I have to get underwater and get very close. Even in the clearest of water, I can't use a telephoto lens. I need to get within a few meters of my subject. So it really means that the animal does have to trust me to allow me close enough. Now, in some cases, you know, with a whale, I think they have such high degrees of cognition, big brains, and they're very smart, intelligent animals. They very much know that you're there. A shark, also very aware and smart on its own level, but, you know, it's maybe a little more primal. They may be curious. They may be, you know, coming in and checking me out or something. But I suppose there's a level of trust, but it's a little bit different with whales and sharks, I think.
As he traveled around the world, developing trust and shooting footage of amazing whales, Brian learned a lot of other interesting whale secrets and traditions. For instance, did you know that there's a group of orca whales in New Zealand that eat stingrays?
In one location, New Zealand, I went to document orca that have figured out how to feed on stingrays. It is their food preference. It is their culture that, you know, orca in that part of the world like that type of food, and they figured out how to catch stingrays and feed on them, while orca in different parts of the world feed on different things. It is what they pass on to their children. So I got to New Zealand. Again, you never know if you're going to see something like this. It's not commonly seen necessarily, but I was able to get out this one day, get in the water, and here comes this adult female with a stingray hanging out of her mouth. So, you know, my mind is just going wild on the fact that here it is, it's right before me. And as she gets closer, I'm ready to begin shooting, she drops the stingray, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I missed the moment. So the stingray falls down to the bottom of the ocean. I swim down. I kneel next to it, wondering if maybe she'll come back. And sure enough, I see her emerge, you know, in the corner of my right eye. She swims behind my back, emerges on the left side of me, and then comes to a position directly in front of me. She stops just a couple of meters away. So there's the whale, there's the stingray, and then me. And she's looking at me, looking at the ray, looking at me, looking at the ray, as if to say, well, you know, I've dropped that for you. Aren't you going to eat it? And then when I don't take a bite, she just gently bends over, picks up the ray, and then turns, and another orca from her family comes in, and they begin to food share. So it was extraordinary. 40 plus years of exploring the oceans, and I've never had anything like that happen.
Wow, that's so awesome. I love that the orca whale wanted to share her stingray dinner with Brian. When you're up close and personal with these animals, you're able to have special experiences like these, and even figure out a bit about whales' different personalities.
You can see individual personalities if you spend enough time with a given population of animals. And I don't think that's such a stretch. We see these whales celebrating joy when a new calf is born. They're exuberant. The family is celebrating. We see them playing games. They sing songs. They have singing competitions, as I say. It's kind of the American Idol of the Sea, humpback whales. So, you know, they do have all of these rich aspects of culture, and they pass these on. They are traditions that they pass on to their offspring as well. So it's both personality and tradition.
The way that humpback whales sing to one another has always been fascinating to me. And Brian says that it's even more incredible to have the whales sing right in front of you.
It is one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever had, is to be in the water with a humpback whale singer. You know, it just resonates through your entire body and vibrates, and it's haunting. It's the male humpback whale that sings, and historically scientists have always believed that it has something to do with mating as a way of attracting females. But that being said, the researchers who've studied this for decades will admit that, you know, in the time that they're studying them, a very tiny percentage, you know, less than 1% of the time, do they actually see a female swim over to a singing male. So there seems to be much more going on there. Maybe it's more cultural than these long 20-minute songs. There may be more encoded things in those sounds, but it's wonderful. It's haunting to hear, and the whales create a new one each year. So it's a bit of a singing competition. They start testing out different tunes. One gets to be the winning one, and they all sort of adopt it, and they pass it across the entire Pacific Ocean, even into the Atlantic. And it is the horizontal transmission of culture. It's been described by science. So there's lots that we don't know about it, but to be in the water and hear it is amazing.
Understanding the traditions and mysteries of whales also means observing how they behave when sad things happen. One time, Brian watched a family of orca whales mourn a baby whale who had died.
This was on Thanksgiving Day. It was the first time I was away from my own family on Thanksgiving, even though I travel, 8 or 9 months a year. I've always managed to be home for some of those bigger holidays. And this was the first time I was away on Thanksgiving. I remember getting up that morning in the Norwegian Arctic and getting on the boat. It was cold and snowy and dark. We're days away from the polar night when it's going to be dark 24 hours a day. And I go out and I see this family of orca moving very purposely through the water, and got in the water and saw this mourning ceremony, this calf being carried that was dead by the mom. We see grief.
Seeing the orcas mourn this baby made Brian sad, especially because the baby probably died due to toxins in the ocean that come from human pollution. As he's observed the ocean over the years, Brian has seen the negative effects of pollution.
I just wanted to celebrate the ocean and make pictures of cool animals and ecosystems. But throughout the course of my career, I began to see so many problems occurring in the world's oceans. And these were things that I believed weren't evident to most people. I was given this unique privilege to be able to go out and spend months and months every year underwater. And I was seeing these things. No matter where you live on this planet, more than 50% of the oxygen we all breathe is generated by the ocean. It is the greatest carbon sink. It takes in carbon and gives us back oxygen like trees do, but it does it more than any other place. Yet, we have dumped so much carbon into the atmosphere that the ocean's chemistry is changing. It is becoming acidic, higher levels of pH, and that pH acid is eroding coral reefs and seashells and everything that lives in the ocean. So, yeah, I mean, these are stories that I feel compelled to tell and also look for solutions. There have to be answers, and there are. And we're living at this pivotal moment in history, I believe, where maybe for the first time, human beings understand the problems and the solutions, and we just need the collective will to move towards those solutions if we're going to have a chance.
Brian feels a deep sense of wonder and awe when he spends time up close with whales. But he also knows that for our oceans to remain places where whales can live happy, healthy lives, we humans need to come together and take care of them. Brian's work is exciting because he's uncovering mysteries of the natural world. And the more we learn about the incredible creatures we share this planet with, the more we want to protect our one shared home.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.